want to talk. I don't want to talk. The Holy Spirit wants to share about freedom's holy light. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Now here's the song that the author is singing. Long may your land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. So there are lots of good patriotic songs, but this one is short and sweet. My country, 'tis of thee. Is it in the Bible? Yeah, it actually is. That wherever we dwell, wherever our dwelling place is, wherever our habitation is, wherever we inhabit, we are to be a blessing in that place according to God. So God has two blessings. One, true religion. Two, just government. Those are the two blessings that God intends on earth. So what have I taught you so far? Well, God has two blessings. One under the left hand, that's called just government. The other under the right hand, that's the foundation of this house. You will never find on earth, anywhere in the world, over all time, a just government unless the right hand of God is the foundation of it. So this blessing is eternal, which is the only foundation for this blessing, which is temporal. Our nation today, I don't say unfortunately, I just say our nation today, it's a fact, is two nations. We are no longer one people or one country. We're a divided country. And it is that way, not because the bad guys are bad, but because the good guys haven't wakened up yet to their own responsibility, that these two blessings are gifts of God, but they have to be received, and you have to believe that God wants them. Now, I want to encourage you that God will never change his mind on either of these two. You might think, well, we're almost losing it, like Adolf Hitler almost, you know, won World War II, or Mao Zedong, or whoever else. Nope, not true. God has sworn in the Bible that his kingdom, the church, will never be shaken, ever. So the foundation can't be moved. If the foundations be removed, what could the righteous do? Nothing. So you can't have such a world where only the bad guys win. Now, there are bad guys, but there'll always be bad guys. But what about this kingdom over here? This kingdom is the one Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means that there will always be some good government. Otherwise, the gates of hell would prevail against it. But even though you live a godly life, you'll be persecuted. Persecution is really not the same thing as total annihilation or destruction. So persecution is a good thing for us. What happens when we're persecuted? What happens when we're persecuted is we praise the Lord, confess our own sins, and bless our enemies. Our enemies. We pray for our enemies. Bad guys. That doesn't mean we say they're good guys. They're not good guys. They're bad guys. But they don't have the light we have. They don't have the salt we are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, I guess for most people, this is just kind of intellectually interesting or a historical footnote on what has been in the past. I don't think so. For me, these things are my life, and I believe both of these things are beloved of God. And until this world is over, this kingdom will abide and remain. So, I'm not sure what you think, but and there's no scripture that says this. I believe that we're going to play a role in this kingdom as well as this kingdom. And I just told you, this is always the foundation. So without a heavenly foundation over here under God's right hand, which is his hand of redemption and mercy and power and glory and so on, that's us. Without that, There can't be a city over here that will endure. It'll fall apart. So whether our nation comes or goes, that doesn't mean the whole nation will fall apart. Wherever God's church is, there's going to be light. Amen. There will be truth. And God will never let it disappear, ever. You say, what about in the Antichrist time? Still not. Sorry. Well, the Antichrist is going to rule over the whole world. Yes, the whole world, but we're not part of the world. My kingdom is not of this world. So even though the Antichrist will rule, we'll still be here. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll see there's two witnesses that are right in the headquarters of the Antichrist city, preaching the whole time, and they stay there the whole time, and they can't shut them up. Yeah. Some people have humorously said that Robert and I would be those two witnesses, but that is humorous. I'm not worthy of that kind of thing. I'll let somebody else do that, because those guys get killed. So I'll let Raul do that. Praise God, brother. Keep be a good witness now. So I say the best is yet to come. I say that these two gifts, what are they? True religion, which is us. There is no other. I can tell you why, but there's no other. Can't be. And just government. Now, the other would be false religion on this side, and then you'd have an unjust government. And we have one today. Our government is more and more corrupted. But that doesn't mean there aren't good guys in the government. There are lots of good guys. Lots. A lot more than you imagine or know. So it's not as precipitous as it seems, as it appears. Inside the CIA, there are good guys and bad guys. Inside the, you know, Air Force, whatever. Whatever you look at, whatever institution, there are always good guys there too, who are also powerful and also strong and so on and so forth. So don't, God is testing you and me, not testing, you know, his promises. He's testing us. Do you still believe in my promise? I will build my church, and the gates of hell, false, unjust government, lawlessness, will never prevail against my church. But then it also means they won't prevail even against just government. Why? Because as long as you have this, you'll always produce this. This foundation produces that fruit. So you cannot look to China. You cannot look to India. You can't look anywhere in the world without Christians in the foundation. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but this is what the Bible says. We Christians are the only salt. There isn't any other. The Greek, when it uses the definite article, huh. So, Hafos, the light. You are the light, and there is no other. English doesn't say it that way, but Greek says it clearly. Otherwise, it has to use the indefinite. But when it uses the definite article, it means you are the light, and there can be no other. Why? Because Christ is in you. He's the light, therefore you're the light, because you're his girlfriend. You're his bride. You're his beloved. And since that's the case, God is doing something great. I wish I had a lot of time today to talk, but I don't, so I'm just going to share a few things about our country. How it got started, how it's totally opposite to the French Revolution, which took place just a few years after ours. They tried to somewhat emulate us, but made incredibly opposite decisions about God. They instead of having God in their foundation like we did, they decided to, and it's a foolish mistake, and that's why the French Revolution didn't go anywhere. Napoleon quickly took it over, and after that, it's never been the same. The French are still positivists, which means they believe human nature is the foundation of government, not God, not the monarchy, and so on. So they've been wandering about, and they always will, until they cease to be positivistic. Legal positivism, philosophical positivism, religious positivism, which just means man just makes it up. They just simply, you have a human foundation. In fact, I just call the French Baalists. They worship the god Baal. In fact, every other religion in the world is a Baalist religion. Why? Because they build it on man. They build it on sand. There's no rock underneath it. We are the ones that are building our lives upon the rock. What is the rock? It's the truth. The true doctrine is with us. We actually know where we came from, where we're going, why we're here. And we know how to not earn happiness, but to enjoy it. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Without liberty, there is no justice. There is no justice. Our system of justice is totally different than any other country, because we believe and acknowledge, even in our documents, we acknowledge that God is supreme. And when the founders of America and the founders of Texas, and they were basically the same, no deviation, no derogation whatsoever, used the same language, copied much of the language. When they did that, they said something like this in Article 1, 6, Texas Constitution: every man has a natural and indefeasible, you cannot defeat it, right. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the government. It's part of the Bill of Rights. It's Article 1, Bill of Rights, quote, 6. And so, every man has a natural and indefeasible to worship God. To worship God, according to the dictates of his own conscience. In other words, government can't penetrate, cannot violate, cannot in any way interfere with, control, mess with, cognize, define, mess with. Can't mess with Texas, you can't mess with the church in Texas. In fact, I believe this is the only state, could be wrong. One state under God. It's now in our pledge to indicate that we want to make explicit, we want to make it clear that the other states may do as they wish, but we ain't. And so that is part of our deal, is great God our King, unless God our King defends you and protects you, you're finished. Because you can't rely upon satellites and, you know, guns and bullets and law keepers and so on, because they're corrupt people in law and so on and so forth. So lawlessness is not going to go away until Jesus comes back. But that doesn't mean it has to rule and reign. And wherever we are, lawlessness will not rule and reign. Now, what if we're immature? Well, then it will. What if we're growing? It still will. But what if we're mature? Well, then it won't. Well, the problem is the founders couldn't create mature Christians. That's the church's business. But there were many. And most of our founders who weren't, let's say, mature Christians, had a fear of God, if not a love of God. George Washington, who is our first president, he said, of all the dispositions and habits which make for political prosperity, everything over here on the left hand, because remember, as president, he personally was a Christian, but as president, he also spoke to everybody, whether they were, you know, worshiping sticks or whatever. As president, Washington always said, you know, God of the universe and stuff like that. But as personal prayer every day, which he carried on him his entire life, never let that out of his sight, he said the same prayers every day to Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. And so he acknowledged God as supreme, the Almighty, over here, over America, and over here personally, over himself and his wife. And they carried on a correspondence, and he carried on correspondence with everybody, to indicate these things, that America would be unique among the nations, an experiment in liberty, in self-government, in separating heaven from earth, heaven being higher, earth being lower, God's left hand from his right hand. He understood that. As a matter of fact, when he was inaugurated, he chose the Bible. It's a red Bible. I believe we still have it. The red Bible, and it was open to Genesis 48, which is the crossing of the two hands. The left hand over here on the firstborn. The right hand over here on the secondborn. And so the placing of those two hands is a perfect symbol of the fact that he believed America had a destiny like no other nation. and that America would endure, but it would go through a lot of hell, would go through a lot of difficulties, problems, and troubles. Why? Because truth is never going to be at home down here. Truth is always going to be attacked. If you live a godly life, you'll be persecuted. Has anybody here who's tried to live a godly life been persecuted? Yahoo! Because that is part of our system. And you just praise God, confess your own sins, if my people will humble themselves, if my people will pray, if my people will seek my face, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, then I will, what? He'll do three things. You do four things, he does three. Here's the three things. I'll hear from heaven. I'll hear you. If my people, if they humble themselves, if they pray, if they seek my face, if they turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive all their sins. In other words, they'll be completely gone. He won't look at them. He doesn't see them. Even though we sin, he will disregard them. Does he have a right to do it? Yeah, he's not under a law. God can do anything he wishes. I mean, nobody can stop him or take him to court. Who's going to represent God? You know, God doesn't need any representation. He doesn't need anyone to help him out. You know, he's okay. Let the box fall on the ground. It's okay. I mean, no, the church could fall on the ground. We'd still be okay. Because the church today isn't exactly the church that he would defend. So when the church prays, it's often not heard. Prayers go up to the ceiling and drop down. But when his people come to him the way he said to come, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive your sins, heal your land. Free gift. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. So America isn't great because we have resources or because we have a big country or because we came from a German, Swedish background or whatever. America's great because we wanted to do it as close as we could to nature and nature's God as described in the Bible. Now, the Americans never set up a Christian government. They did not set up a Christian government. We do not have a Christian government. Maybe you can call it a nation or the people. A lot of people are Christians. But how many are mature? God knows. We don't know. All we know is ourselves. All we can do is mature ourselves as best as we can. And I will never, ever use trickery or force or manipulation or whatever. I'll tell you the truth if you like it. Praise the Lord. If you don't, praise the Lord. Amen. Doesn't bother me at all. I don't need to have any buddies or pals or anything. I'm going to heaven. I don't know about y'all. I'm going. In fact, I've already started. I'm already having heaven on earth. Amen. Why? Because I believe what God said. I believe God can't lie. I can lie all day long, but he can't lie. Hey, God, you can't lie. I can lie. So he's okay with that. How many know it's okay? How many know we do lie? We do exaggerate. At times we're selfish. At times we restrain that with self-interest because it's good to behave yourself. How many know that it's good to behave yourself? You'll actually be happier if you do than if you don't. Because selfishness doesn't last, you know, past age 35 or something. It just doesn't last very long. But God wants us to believe that these two promises, these two blessings that he said, true religion will never disappear from the face of the earth, and just government will never disappear from the face of the earth. I can give you scripture after scripture on it. That he said, these two will never be shaken or removed. So we don't have to worry about what will the righteous do if he removes the foundations. They're immovable. Because they're in heaven. And we not only acknowledge that, that's because he wrote it down. He put that truth down here. That's our doctrine. Our doctrine is whatever the Bible says, that's the way it is. That's my doctrine personally. I believe the Bible never lies. I don't really care. I don't even care if I understand it. I don't care. I just believe it's the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Period. And I'll tell you what, that produces happiness. That produces happiness on earth. I don't mean just a little pleasure for a season. Anybody can get that, you know, beer or drugs or, you know, a new girlfriend. I'm saying that you can actually have joy unspeakable and full of glory here. Yep. And not only that, not only spiritually can you have that, but you can have it socially, economically and politically on earth. He promised that. He swore that. If you seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else the Gentiles are seeking. Whatever they want or they're trying to get, they won't get anyway. I'll give it to you. I'll just give it to you. You won't earn it. I'll give it to you. That's an amazing promise. Now, is there anyone here who also believeth, as I believeth, that God can't lie? One thing about God, he can't lie. Too bad for him. He made these ridiculous promises. Jim, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Yoo-hoo, silly you. Okay, cool. You got me as a partner now. And so he has to bless me all the time. You take all the burden, I get all the blessing. Cool. I'm in. How many know that God can't lie about that? If he ever left you, he would not be God. He would cease to be God. So you say, well, Pastor, you're just believing that. I know, but I do. So, as though that were a weak thing. I get to choose. I don't have to do it. I just choose to do it. Did somebody force me? Absolutely not. They just wrote it in a book. Now, that's a silly book. A lot of people think it's a stupid book. Well, I thought it was at one time. I don't think it is anymore. And so nobody forced me to do it. I just do believe. Where did it come from? Hearing. I don't know. And also, I think what helped a little bit was the fact that I was totally selfish. Not self-interested, just totally selfish. I just want everything for me and the hell with everybody else. Does anybody else grow up that way? I shouldn't have said hell in the church. Now I'll go to hell for that. I don't believe in that. I believe that God not only seeth my sin on a daily basis, he knoweth what I think before I sayeth it. And he's totally cool. He even says to the angels, that's Jim. He just woke up. He's cool. I already know the Father loves you. Yeah. The Father himself loveth you. Now that is such a ridiculous teaching that only a Christian would be an idiot enough to believe that, but I do. I totally believe that. I totally believe God is on my side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Nobody. So these two presents, and I only want to talk about this one over here, because this one here we talk about every day. But this one, I want to talk about just government on earth. Our founders decided, they made a bunch of distinctions that nobody else had ever made. Or they made a decision to make those distinctions work. Nobody else ever, I mean, the British talked about liberty, but they didn't practice it. Even the Dutch, they believed in religious toleration, but they didn't actually believe in religious liberty. Like we did. We were the only country in the world ever to found everything, not even the Jews. We were the only one to found everything, not on force, but on our acknowledging that God is supreme up in the heavens. So heaven's up here, earth is down here. Earth is always beneath, inferior to, subordinate, submitted to God's will up in heaven. As in heaven, so on earth. Now that's a religious idea, came out of the Bible. But it's also a natural idea that the superior is always greater than the inferior. And if you're in the military, you have to understand that. If you're in business, you have to understand that. If you're in church, you should understand that. That God is always God and you're not. And this is the first thing you need to learn. I'm not God. How many have learned that early on? One thing about me, I'm awesome, but I'm not God. I am awesomely stupid sometimes. Has anyone ever discovered that? Like, geez, I don't know anything. Have you ever come to that kind of like brilliant enlightenment? I am a weakling. Has anyone ever come to that? Geez, I don't have any power. I don't have any knowledge. I don't have anything. I thought when I was a teenager, I thought I could conquer the world. But as you grow up, you begin to get bumped. And pretty soon you get smashed. And then pretty soon you're a zero. And that is a great moment in your life when you realize you're absolutely weak, ignorant, and evil. That's a great moment when you come to that. It's God, you know what? I think you're the only one that's good. I don't think I'm good like you are. Remember that God defines good. Don't eat of this tree. Now, all the bad guys eat of the tree. The tree is that I, with my own natural capacities, could know good and evil. He said, don't know that. In other words, don't have intercourse with that. Don't think you know what good and evil is. Ask me every single moment of your life. It's like, God, I can figure it out myself. Okay, go for it. How about you get a chance to do it? You're free. You get a chance to make decisions that are stupid. Has anybody here ever made the stupid decisions like me? About a billion of them, a zillion of them. And, you shouldn't survive those. I was telling Peggy in the car coming. I should be definitely in jail. But I definitely also should be dead. But I'm not. This is awesome. And here I am in the most glorious city. Isn't this wonderful? Preaching the truth to you. I mean, it's like, you know, and you get paid. Let's take the offering. No, because, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable. I get paid to be, you know, telling the truth. I mean, it's awesome. Now, people hate the truth. I just want to tell you right now, if you do preach the truth and live the truth, you'll be persecuted. You'll be hated. You'll be despised. Not just by outsiders, by insiders too, everybody. I won't say it. Anyway, you have to be a dead person to want to be a Christian and to want to be a minister for sure. Because you're going to be crucified all the time and you have to get used to it. So I die daily, Paul said. Remember that? I die daily. So every day you have to be lonely. Because you don't have a friend in the world. Has anyone ever experienced loneliness? Lonely means you don't even have the right to feel sorry for yourself. That's how lonely you are. Even God won't comfort you. God, I'm lonely. Help out. He won't even come through. You know, he's up there doing something. God, you said right early. It's early. Come on, do it. He won't do it. I mean, God is so cool. He knows everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. It's not fine. But you don't really get to instruct God. So God wants just government on the earth. That means there will always be a modicum. That means not complete and full and completely heaven on earth. A modicum of justice. There'll always be a modicum, some amount. But not full. But just enough to hold the bad guys off. How many know there's a restrainer out there? It's the natural law. It's the natural law restrains the wicked. I know some people think it's the devil and demons and, you know, the church and so on. No, what's restraining the bad guy is the law. That's why he's called the lawless one. Did you know he's called that? That's one of his titles. Satan, the Antichrist, you know, all these bad guys, false prophet and so on. They're just lawless. Why? Well, they have lots of laws, but none of their laws are submitted to God's higher laws in heaven. So higher law jurisprudence is missing today in, let's say, the judicial system or among lawyers, but not completely. There are many still who hold to higher law. There's six of them. There's God's law, which you should never go against. You don't have to implement it, but just don't go against it. Leave it alone. And then there's the natural law, written on everybody's heart. Then there's the common law, as we adapted it and adopted it after we adapted it, so that it didn't have all that king stuff and entail and primogeniture and all that nonsense that the British had. We cleaned the common law up and then adopted it, acknowledged it as one of our laws. We didn't create it. We just acknowledged it as that'll rule here in Texas, that'll rule here in the United States. And it does. Common law is prescriptive. Prescriptive law means it isn't a law until it's under nature and under nature's God, those two higher laws, and people have proven it over and over again to be fair and just and better than lawlessness. And so prescriptive law or custom is also a form of law, and it was the thing that made England have any value whatsoever and why the Americans conserved it rather than destroyed it. They just got rid of some stuff that wasn't under God's law or wasn't under natural law. So those three systems at the top acknowledged. Three acknowledged. Then three created or declared. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. So now there's six laws that every law that is made or enacted by the legislature has to pass muster before, and every lawyer should and every judge should follow these six laws that are higher that rule completely, totally. They're called preeminent over all of the other laws that the Congress might make, which are all mutable. These laws up above, the top three, are immutable as far as Americans are concerned, and that's what the people decided. Not the people like a handful of people, but all the people. When we had founders who wrote the stuff, and then the whole body had to, in an overwhelming majority, agree to it, ratify it. So our system of government is set up where God is in heaven, and he cannot be ruled by any law. Did you know there's no laws in heaven? There are no laws in heaven. There's no stop signs. There's no, you know, you can't eat that. You can just do anything you want in heaven. I mean, there's no laws. Everyone who gets there can't get there unless you're perfected. Do y'all see that? And it'll be amazing when you get there, but it won't be too much different than we're already experiencing down here. Aren't you experiencing heaven on earth down here? I'll ask that again. Aren't you experiencing some modicum of heaven on earth down here? You live in Dallas, my gosh. Thank God you're not in Fort Worth, you know. That's where we live. We still have the cow dung on our boots. But you see, God is in charge, and he never will not be. There's no way that the devil can ever do one thing that God doesn't know about and hasn't approved of. And so all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Did you know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? So this is, to me, is a great country that we came up with, but we didn't come up with it. We just acknowledged these three laws, then declared these three laws, and then everything that our legislature does, seven, has to be submitted to the top six. And if it doesn't pass muster, and very few of the laws today do. Many of our laws do not pass muster. But criminals have gotten in, corrupt people, thugs, you know, bad guys. And there's a few even in the church. I'm not one of them, of course. But there are some bad guys out there. How many know that God will always provide shepherds for his flock who, you know, are ready to lay their life down? Right? I don't have a life of my own. I have to say his words, do his deeds, will his will. You know, you never. When do I get to do Jim's stuff? It's like I'll sneak it in when he's not looking. Nah, did you see that? How many know that you can every once in a while swear if you need to? But of course, you shouldn't. But we're not under law. We're under grace. Did you know that grace is much more powerful than law? Do you know a loving family is more powerful than an unloving family? Did you know that self-interest is better than selfish? Selfish is where I win and you lose. Zero sum. But self-interest is where I win, but I also am going to include you because it's to my interest that I do so. Because if I'm selfish and cheat you, you might kill me or hurt me or injure me or pay me back. I mean, know that it's actually a smart move on your part, even if you don't believe in Jesus, just simply to behave yourself. Right? I mean, you get certain rewards, they're not much, but it's better than the other side where you get punishments. But we don't need any of that. There's no law for us. We're under grace. We're under the power of Almighty God. But if you're immature, you're just like a pagan. Immature Christians are exactly like pagans. The only thing is they know they're immature and evil, so they can ask forgiveness. But the truth is, and I spent the first number of years of my Christian life, God forgive me, sorry about that. God forgive me, sorry about that. And I decided after a while, just put a tape over the thing. God forgive me, I'm sorry. God forgive me, I'm sorry. Because I was always sinning and he was always forgiving and we had a nice arrangement. But I didn't know at that time you were supposed to, but ignorance is no excuse. I didn't know you were supposed to actually behave. I just thought he was supposed to forgive if I sinned. And I knew how to do my job well. And he apparently liked doing his job well. But after a while, he indicated to me, Jim, are you kind of tired of that? Yeah. You know, sinning is not working. Has anyone discovered that sinning, you know, getting your own way, you know, beating up other people, does not worketh. It doesn't produce happiness. Not even pleasure for a season. I mean, anybody can sin and get pleasure for a season. But it doesn't produce lasting happiness. But when you meet Jesus, boom, you get it all. So those that are completely selfish, and there are people like that, and I was one of them. I was completely selfish, meaning I didn't give a damn about anybody, what they thought, what they wanted, my parents, none of my relatives, friends, anybody. I would sell anybody under the bus, just like that. I had no conscience. I had no religion. I just wanted to survive and grab as much stuff as I could before I died. That was about it. Had no fear of heaven or hell or the devil or God or anything. I just didn't care. Didn't care. Just wanted to do what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it, where I wanted to do it. And if you got in the way, too bad. And so I don't look like that, but that's the way I grew up. And this world, actually the guy who's running the show right now, he grew up in the same milieu that I did in Chicago. And my whole family's all thugs and mafia and perverts and so on. All of my grandfathers, they were all in federal pen, every one of them. So I didn't have any nice people in my life. Now, I don't feel bad about that. I never thought about that. I never thought anybody owed me anything. I just thought I could take whatever I needed. You see, that's a criminal mind. Do y'all understand that criminal mind? And you say, are you proud of that? I don't care. It's just that's what I was. But when I found Jesus, I hated the guy. I didn't want that guy. I don't want anybody, you know, cramping my style. When I want to sin, I want to sin. I know a few of you actually swear every once in a while. And I actually know that. And you actually drink beer. And you chew sometimes. Anyway, some of you are perverts. But, look, now, what I'm saying is this. Don't worry about it. Jesus Christ has paid for all that. Wow. Well, good. That was my first attitude. Well, good. Yahoo. So I get to live like hell all the way to heaven, and then I get to go to heaven too. That was like awesome. Now that is good news. I'll tell you, that is good news. Live like hell all the way to get to heaven, then you can jump over and you get into heaven too. You know, it's like, wow, you got covered all the bases. And I really believe that. And I taught that as a pastor. I really was. And a big church at that time. It was great. It's great. And actually, in Dallas, we had about 300 members coming every week. Rick, he used to be here. We could fill the place. It was easy. We outgrew, you know, the Melrose Hotel with all the homosexuals there, saved a bunch of them and so on. And then we moved on to the Sheraton Hotel and outgrew that one. Then we went down to the Biblical Arts Center where they burned that thing down. And we just kept growing. But then one day somebody said, you know what the people are doing? They're loving your unconditional love of God message. But then they go out and do things afterward. Did you know that? No. So the next week I thought, I'll solve that. And so I solved it. We lost 2/3 of the members after that. Down to 100. But praise God. Praise God. It was good. Because the few who stayed, about 100 or so, it was powerful. Because they stopped doing some of the things they were doing and began to really receive the Lord and discipline themselves. So it's well worth it. How many know that a lot of those people still meet me on the streets and they're still doing whatever they did. And they still love Jesus. And they especially love that first message I had. Unconditional love. Go over that one again. Well, that used to be my message. It was like, hey, don't worry about all those laws. We're under grace. Whatever that is, it's good. It allows you just to be no good. Now, God wants just government on earth to stop the bad guys, restrain them, and punish them from time to time so that the good guys can carry on. So you're protected. You're the one that God wants to be free so that your freedom can actually be stronger than they're just being punished. In other words, punishment doesn't really stop people. Are you all aware of that? It can restrain them, but you can't actually change them or convert them, but love does. If there were love. So you have to have a church where there actually is truth spoken in love. Truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Now that is what sells anywhere in the world. I can go among Muslims and convert hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in a single meeting. And I have. You can go among Hindus. You can go among Buddhists. You can go among communists. You can go among socialists. It doesn't matter. Everybody's out for happiness and don't know how to get it. They don't know how to get it. So what you do is you don't just talk it. You have to walk it. And when you walk it and build orphanages and, you know, send containers every month, presidents like you. They like people that give them freebies. I remember when we first dealt with Samora Machel, a Marxist, and he was the president of Mozambique. And Before we got there in the country, we met with his guy here, Valeriano Ferrao. And he was plenipotentiary. I didn't know what that was. He said, it means I have full power. Whatever I say, the president has said. I don't have to call him like an ordinary ambassador. I am like his son. If I say it, he said it. So if I agree to let you come, you're in. And so he did. So we used to send a container every month of something, food, clothing, medicines, seed, something, whatever they needed. And they asked me a question. He said, well, what are you going to do about the soldiers stealing everything when it gets there, and the mafia and all that kind of stuff? I said, well, let them take it. We'll send another one the next month. He said, well, we've never had that offer before. That's a good offer. How many know that's a good calling card in a corrupt third world country? It's a great calling card because there were no strings attached. Yeah, let them get it. Did you know that things all filter down sooner or later? And so even if that guy corrupts and takes it all and so on, send some more. That country had no stores in it. Not one. Not one. Not one. When we went there. And so I had to fly stuff in from South Africa. I had to work with the South African government to do so and so on and so forth. Hired my own plane. Sent in stuff. And all of the government officials didn't have anything either. And so the wives really loved us for sending in, you know, bobby pins and Vaseline and toilet paper and whatever else they needed. I mean, because they didn't have anything in the country. It was a country that was under the famine, pestilence, and sword. 3 or 4 million people a year, every single year, were dying there. Crystal can tell you from South Africa that they were at war with South Africa. Renamo, Frelimo, all these things were going on. But I worked on both sides, and I was able to accomplish anything I wanted, anything that we decided we would do, because it was free. And that government said to me when Samora Machel flew here, the president of the country, met with Ronald Reagan. He said to Ronald Reagan, before I go back home with my government, two airplanes loaded with people, I want to go to Texas. And I want to meet with Hope for Africa, Robert and I. And when we met him, he said, you never need a passport to come to my country or a visa. You are always welcome. Because you have done more for our country than any other group. I said, that's impossible. I just always speak blunt. That's impossible. I said, how about the UN and the Friends and Quakers and all this stuff? They give it a lot of stuff. I can read all the stuff. He said, no, it's not true. You promised 12 projects. You did 36. He said, everyone else promises a lot and gives very little. You promised a little and gave a lot. He said, you are always welcome. So they killed that president, coming to meet me. So that president was flying in from Lusaka, and he was flying to meet me. I'm just telling you all this to say that God, in the midst of this world, with all of its wickedness and so on, he's still in charge. And love is more powerful than any other force on earth. That's why Jesus, teaching the unconditional love of God, transformed people. And it still works in your family. It still works in marriage. It still works in relationships. That only one needs to do it. The other one doesn't have to cooperate. If one person loves unconditionally, no conditions, just like Jesus, and you're willing to suffer for it, but you don't quit, that's a powerful thing. People can't figure that out. So what are you doing that for? Why would anyone be that foolish? Because that's the way God is. No, God loves you no matter what. And some of you are scoundrels, secret scoundrels, but you're scoundrels. I don't know that you have thoughts. You don't always act out all of your scoundrelness, but you still have it in there. Even if you're a Christian. How many know that Christians still sin? Yeah. Anyone who says, he hath no sin, maketh God a liar. You call God a liar because Christians sin. Amen? How many are on the one-a-day plan? You know, just if you try to keep it up so you stay humble about it. You know, don't want to get too proud about being a Christian. But people can sin all day long. Does God count it as nothing? No, but he already paid for it. It's too late for him to say, I changed my mind. He can't. Once he's sworn an oath, he has to keep that oath. And I wouldn't have used that program personally. But God did. And it's still, to me, unbelievable. I still am amazed every day that ML God would love me just the way I am. That's such a joy. Incredible joy. I would be impatient. But God knows everything from the beginning. Therefore, he knows that he's going to have an innumerable, you can't number it, host in heaven from us, sinners. Isn't that amazing? So our system of government was set up by dividing the left hand from the right hand. True religion, just government. Okay? What about the other bad guys? Don't worry about them. Just if my people will do what I say, I'll take care of the other guy. Ah! So it's easy to defeat our enemies. We don't have political problems, economic problems, social problems. We only have religious problems. That's it. Do you believe and are you willing to go from justified to sanctified to glorified, outer court, holy place, holy of holies? Are you ready to grow all the way in this world now and put God first, heaven over earth, and separate what God separates? The French didn't, the Americans did. That's the difference. And so that's why we are still an existing, limited constitutional government. Now, in practice, it doesn't always operate that way, and especially our present group that's in power. But that's our fault. It's not their fault. I don't care that they did wrong. It's us. We are the guilty ones. We are the ones that have all the power. You're free. You can have anything you want. You just need to do what God says and trust him. And if you don't, don't. If you don't trust him, don't. Just grab for yourself and so on and so forth. I did. But I'll just tell you something. It's not going to work. I found the only thing is just trust God. Do what God says. If just one person, did you know there's great power in one person, all by himself, all by herself, you could pray for this city and make a change. There is great power in just one who's seeking God with all his heart, all his soul, all his strength. So God is trying to teach us something, that you're never a victim. You are always a culprit if you are not following the way of the Lord. So you're never a victim. Like, well, I blame so-and-so for it. Yeah, don't blame anybody. It's always you. Why? Because he's given you all the power, all the knowledge, all the love, all the everything. You just didn't take it. You didn't enjoy it yet. Enjoy it first. You know, if you're just new to this thing, start enjoying it. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Be sloppy about it. Doesn't make any difference. But enjoy it. Because sooner or later, that joy will break out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Those gifts of the Spirit are what this world does not have. None of them. That comes from heaven to earth. That's why you can have just government on the earth. How good does it have to be? Just rough. Just rough. It doesn't have to be perfect. It won't be perfect. It can't be perfect. It's just temporal. It's just enough to hold the bad guys off and restrain them until the Antichrist comes. When he comes, let him do his thing. And then 3.5 years later, Jesus will come. Amen? So God's already laid it all out. There are no surprises. We're not in the dark about anything. We don't have to guess. You know, I wonder when that's going to happen or how that's going to happen. Well, it's just all in the book. Just read the book. How many read the book on a daily basis? Don't raise your hand. How many read the book on a daily basis? You know, because you should be meditating day and night on these things. You don't have to actually read it, but you do have to meditate on it night and day, that we have a loving Father which is unique among the gods. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. There's the key right there. If you don't have liberty, you're not going to have justice. No liberty, no justice. Jefferson wrote that the one thing that I wanted to accomplish in my life, and he wrote three things down, but the one thing most important of all was the act of Virginia establishing religious liberty, therefore abolishing civil and religious tyranny forever. And that was his proudest moment. Texas followed that very language and said, when Santa Anna was, you know, trying to conquer us, they wrote those words down in 1836, that the reason why we can't get along is not social, economic, or political. It's religious. We don't want him telling us what religion we have to follow. We want to have our own. They wrote this in the Declaration. It's written in there. You should read it. It's powerful. That's the reason we're breaking with him, because everything else will be taken care of. If we only have this abolishing tyranny and establishing liberty. So there's the secret to our government. The Chinese haven't learned it yet. The Indians haven't learned it yet. Nobody has learned it. Why? because the experiment is going awry right now. And so therefore, America has to force its way. And, you know, we did this long ago, long in the last century. We decided to go wicked as a government and lie to the American people. You know, that's part of the law, is that the government has a right to lie to the American people. Therefore, how will you ever trust that anything they tell you is the truth? You're not the people. They are. They're the ones that represent you. French Revolution won. So the French Revolution is now in our midst, and we're eating the fruit of it. But God wants, and I just told you, he'll never change his mind, just government. Where does it come from? Right here. Only true religion can produce just government. And this is why George said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In other words, leave them alone. Leave them outside of government. You want government to work? Go outside of government. Build a foundation. Abraham was looking for a city with foundation. That's the foundation. That's where the man of faith, the father of faith, saw a city that could be built on a hill that would be a light to all the world. So just government is part of our fruit of love. It's not part of our faith. It's part of our fruit that faith produces. Faith in God produces worship to God, love to the brethren, and testimony to this world. And so just government will always be part of our witness, otherwise we're not here. If you're here and you don't produce that, you are good like salt to be trodden underfoot of men. Throw it out, cast it out. What is a church that doesn't know how to speak the truth and convict this world of its sinfulness? It's not the bad guys that are bad, it's the good guys that aren't good. I'm going to say that again. It's not the bad guys that are bad. They did bad, they have too many taxes and so on. It's your fault. It's your responsibility. You're the only ones that could change that. Because you're not worshiping God, this is the only issue. If you're not worshiping God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, then the bad guys can rule. And God uses that to say, wake up, wake up. How many know we are going to wake up, and it's going to start right here in Dallas, Texas?
Amen.
Okay, that's a stupid thing to say, but I'm saying it. I believe, this is what I believe, God has spoken to me. I believe that it's going to be right here. And I believe, Rick, you believe that. That God is going to do something so powerful in this city at this time, not next year, now, to change the face of Texas, of America, and of the world. Because this message that I'm telling you right now is the fact that God can't lie. Heaven is always going to be heaven. Earth is always going to be earth. That's one distinction. The other is left hand isn't right hand. That's another. This is eternal. This is temporal. This one will pass away. This one will never pass away. This is the new world. The millennium, in the millennium, will be ruling over these guys. But here, you will not. There's no time in this world where the truth is going to win over the lie. But when Jesus comes back, that's the last time the wicked will ever again rule and reign on this earth. Because we will be ruling and reigning. Did you know that we're going to judge Israel? We're going to be judging all the nations. We're going to be judging everybody. Isn't that amazing? Can't you see the brilliance of that on God's part? Can you all see the wisdom of God picking us? You just see it. I mean, you know, God just, you know, really smart. No, the whole issue is that we're submitted to God. Heaven is over. I don't make my own decisions. I'm not allowed to. God says, you know, Jim, trust me, trust me, trust me. Not obey me, obey me, obey me. Trust me. Israel's problem is not obedience. Her problem is she didn't trust God. When she heard about the law, she said, we'll do it. That was silly. Well, what a silly thing to say. We'll do it. We're Jewish, you know, we can do it. Really? Well, go for it. I don't know that Israel never did. With all her heart and all her soul and all her strength. That's why the church was born to replace Israel. I don't know, we replaced her. No, we didn't. We're worse than she is. I mean, we have not even done as well. Why? Because we misunderstood a little bit. I mean, you get your time things all mixed up. The millennium is later. A lot of people thought the millennium was already. The Roman Catholic Church for 1,000 years thought this was the millennium. The Emperor Constantine in 330 AD had a coin printed with his face on it, and he wrote down year one. This is the beginning of the millennium. So that means 1,000 years later, something would happen. John Wycliffe. Which would end the medieval church's domination and dominion over the hearts and lives and souls of men. And that reformation, of course, his was a moral reformation, not a doctrinal one. But 200 years later, Luther introduced a doctrinal one, which says, look, it isn't just the morals that are corrupt. The problem is the church itself does not have the true doctrine or the true teaching. We have to put that in so that people then are not moral. Christianity has nothing to do with morality. That's the world's idea. We have to do with the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. That what you do is empowered by the Holy Spirit killing you so that he can use you. Amen. I mean, you can't love others if you're still loving yourself. It has to be killed. So your self-love is not going to work. I mean, you've tried to love yourself. It did not produce happiness. So everything about our government is this. Human nature is not a good foundation. That's everything. Ours was the first government that was totally pessimistic about man's ability to do something. We don't believe in morals. I mean, he said, religion and morals, okay? It's ambiguous. The truth is, he said that because we have a lot of people here who are just religious and morals. That's just Baalism. But Baalism will restrain, but not enough. Without Christians in the base, the truth and the light, the truth, the light, you can't have just government. So is America over? I say as a prophet, no, it's not over. It's just begun. I say that they missed something in the founding and they knew about it. Jefferson actually said exactly what's going to happen, and it happened just as he said. When people figure out where the trough is, where all the dough is in the government, then they'll make their way to that trough. Today, half of America, not literally, but a whole bunch of Americans want to eat off the trough, whether it's corporate welfare or the people's welfare, where they're looking not to God for their daily bread, but to the government. That's communism. That's socialism. We don't believe in that. That's the French Revolution nonsense. I don't know that the French Revolution is the exact opposite of where we are. They're saying we're rock. The reason America is still here is because of the rock. The rock cannot be moved. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Long may your land be bright. Now, what kind of brightness, enlightenment do we have? In freedom's holy, holy light. Right hand. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. So we don't have a king down here. We don't have pastors down here. We just have servants. What America de jure was set up to be, and it isn't always, and it hardly is at all. But nevertheless, there's always a few people that are God's servants who are pastors or politicians or businessmen or just social, people. I mean, there's a lot in this country, more than you realize. You have no idea that God is just waiting for his church to see which way you're going to go. Stop limping along with two opinions. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be, then serve him. So God is about to do something great. Is everybody ready?
Amen.
Aren't you thrilled and excited? Inspired? Look, I don't care about inspiration. Just do it. Believe it. This is the will of God, that there be just government until he comes, and that there also be a true religion, or the church of Jesus Christ, which is the church of the firstborn. We're the church of the firstborn. We're part of those that have been born again and now filled with the Spirit and now loving our neighbor as ourself. Powerful. You can't get that from the natural man. Nature doesn't tell you where you came from, where you're going, or why you're here. The gospel does. God saved that for himself. Does he have a right to do that? He can do anything he wants. If he wanted to not make your marriage work without him, that's his business. If he wanted to make business not work without him, that's his business. If he wanted the state not to work without him, that's his business. The Americans are the only nation that ever said, let God be God and leave everything else to him that doesn't belong to us. Now, what belongs to us? Just keep make people behave on the outside. Don't go for their heart. Don't worry whether they're heretics, whether their religion's right or wrong. Don't worry about their moral stuff. Just do the few things that the people have given you to do. And that's a limited, small government. How many know today we're this big? And you and I are this big. But in the beginning, it was set up for us to be this big and the government to be this big. Now, you can get it all back, but you're going to do it not through politics. You have to do it through the church. The church today is the problem. The church is God's biggest problem. But you know what? God's already sworn an oath, so you don't have to worry about it. It will happen. The only question is where and when. The answer is you. Now. Here. This is the greatest hour because we can finish what the Reformation started and couldn't finish, what the Founding Fathers started but did not finish. We have more civil and religious tyranny today than we have religious and civil liberty. But you and I still have it. It's got to be in your heart first. Then you get it up into your head. Then you get it into your life. And it should start with your own family. Or no. Let's start with your own tongue. If you could just control this little tongue right here. And learn to edify people and build up people rather than, you know, cursing and, you know, just saying stuff that, you know, what are you doing here? You know, instead of that, just say, what a joy to see you. Amen. How many know you can do it? You can do it by faith. You don't have to even be inspired. Just do it. Trust God. Just trust God. Don't worry. Well, I wonder if I really believe that. That's psychology. That's nonsense. I don't believe in psychology. That's witchcraft. How many know that we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. In other words, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Psychology belongs to the old rubbish. I don't believe in psychology at all. It's just witchcraft. It's nothing but saying man can solve his own problems without God. It's just making excuses. Oh, you poor person. You know, you poor victim. You know, if you just do this, you know. Everyone does that. Don't worry about it. Don't be guilty. And so on. I want everyone to feel guilty. I love guilt. I think guilt is great. Because it shows you what an idiot you are. Amen? Even as Christians. We have not yet built the kingdom of God. I will build my church. Well, get going, Jesus. Don't wait on us. How many know that Jesus is going to wait on you? Because you're the salt. You're the light. This world, I tell you, these are the best days to be an American. These are the best days to be a Texan, because Texas is going to lead. You don't have to believe it. I'm just telling you, that's what I believe. That's why I'm here. I'm here deliberately, on purpose. Because I believe that this is the place that God's going to use. And Bill Bright believed it. And I could name a dozen others that all believed it. And I didn't know that they believed it. But later I found out when I began to share it. Other people believed it before I did. So I said, great, that's good. We're all hearing the same God, that something powerful is going to happen, and it can't happen in Utah. It can't happen in New York City. It's not going to happen to Chicago for sure. And that's my home. I love that home. What a home to have. Chicago. It's great. I mean, you know, Dallas is not the murder capital of the world. It's Chicago. I could say a zillion things about Chicago. It's as corrupt as you can get. And so they don't blame the people that are in office today where they came from. That's the way we did it. I mean, in Texas, if somebody says, I want to kill you, they're probably just drunk or whatever, go out and shoot horseshoes later. But in Chicago, if they say, I'm going to kill you, they're going to kill you. I mean, they're not fooling around. I mean, the gangs there and the drug lords and all this stuff, they're mean. They're nasty. And that's my background. That's all my uncles and aunts and stuff. They're all part of that. And I love it because you can count on them. If the mafia tells you they're going to do something, they're going to do it. Or die trying. So, the issue is not them, it's us. You are the hope, right here. You. Why? Because Jesus Christ either lives in you or he doesn't. Or he lives in you, but he needs to get out of you. He needs to get out of you. So, Margaret, you need to die. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Raul, you already know that. Yeah. I know you came today because you knew that. You were hoping I would preach a hard sermon. But, you know, because it's a celebration of our country, I don't believe it's an accident that we are where we are. I believe it's a gift of God that there's some place on earth that people could repair or come to. Today you can't. But there will still be that. And all the problems that we have today, they could all be blessings. You can turn every one of those problems into a blessing, economically, socially, politically, etc. But because of religion, you can save Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. I don't care who they are, Democrats. It doesn't matter who they are. Got to save the Democrats. Did you know that there are a lot of Democrats who are just like we are? It's just that a handful control the rest. They have a pyramid system where the guy at the top dictates, then all his sycophants underneath him, and then all the poor guys that are below him. They don't even believe in all those things, but they have to. Otherwise, they lose their job or their life. It's a mean, nasty system. So the leftists have taken over the liberals. There are no liberals now. There are. They're hidden. And they would turn in a moment. But who's going to kill Goliath? Who's going to knock the giant down so that they'd be free again? So all those unions and all that stuff that came in and all Al Capone and all that stuff, those are the people that grew up in my town. They ran the show. They're still running the show today. But that's just one city. They're in Dallas. They're in Fort Worth. They're everywhere. They're in banking. They're in everything. Well, good. Turn to Jesus. Your only hope is Jesus. You have to turn to Jesus. How many know you can be happy today?